greetings to you all this morning here in Jesus' precious name. So he told us in that line of song that if Barak would have not been troubled and asked of the Lord himself and listened to the answer, he probably wouldn't have had to go to a soothsayer. But one thought I also had with that simply was not Balaam also subject to like passions and infirmities and feelings of we, which he wanted to do what? He wanted to listen to God, but he also wanted to please the people, didn't he? So he was very, very subject to that. You know, he's like, well, because they probably was going to give him lots of gifts. You know, the Barak or whatever had sent a officiating of men or people to him to ask him to come to do this. And I think at that time they'd have been taking gifts to him, you know, to pay him for his services. And the more he took, so he would say good things for me. And that didn't work. And so he sent the second troop of people to him and to convince him to come. And even against all that, you know, looking at both those characters, I guess, Balaam and Barak, Balaam also, you know, was persuaded. He was persuaded by opinion of people that he should do this, and was probably hoping to get paid for that. But anyway, so very good lessons that we can take out of that for ourselves today. So I'm looking in the Epistle of James, and we're going to look at what kind of faith do you have, I guess. We're looking at faith, the word faith here. James describes faith in a very way, and he describes it in probably a couple different kinds of faith. And just to look into this scripture and examine ourselves and asking what kind of faith do we have? And, you know, we all say we have faith. We have faith in God. And I believe that we do. And yet, is it active? Or how does it play out in, you know, even in, how does it play out in every day? Has anything happened this week to any of us that you would say, oh, that was an act of faith? Or my faith sustained me? My faith encouraged me? My faith was, you know, my faith was reinforced, or my faith was let down? Anything? So it's just examples. And so just to give a quick example, like riding, you know, I don't even know if this has to do with faith, but riding home yesterday, I needed to make a phone call. And I just kept putting it off. And well, the guy called the second time. He called the day before and is like, and the only reason I didn't want to make phone calls because I didn't know what I was going to tell him. I didn't have an answer. You know, I didn't know exactly. And I was worried and I was fretting about this. And it sounded like, so finally I just did on the way home. I just made the phone call. And I took a leap of faith and was like, let's call him. See, so sometimes you just have to make the call, and everything was perfectly fine. It was not anything that I imagined at all. And my faith was kind of restored in that. Like, just make the call. It'll be okay. You know, just, is that an act of faith or wasn't it? I don't know. So I just use that as a simple example. You know, there's other things that happen in our day-to-day life sometimes that we like. It was also encouraged, like William encouraged, do we listen? Do we hear when God tells us something and he's initiating something in our lives or asking you or nudging you? And do we ignore it, like Balaam did, or do we take the incentive and do that? And I have another example of that. I might share that a little bit later, just as like, you know, are there coincidences, or are they actually all planned from God? Is this all part of God's design for your life today, this minute, this hour, this time? Do we have faith that is what God is, you know, doing us? But we just know that without faith, it says it's impossible to please God. And we know without faith, if you would not have faith in something, you'd be desolate and desperate and helpless. And what would you do? Why would you even do anything? You know, if you wouldn't have any faith of any kind, you know, you have faith in your talents and abilities. that what you do and you do it right and you can do it good. And yeah, you can make a mistake, but you also have faith that you can correct that mistake. You can redo it if you need to. So if you would remove faith out of your life, what would there be left? You know, not much, I don't think. Or it wouldn't be pretty, probably. But we know just a couple of the background, you know, scriptures of that, like Hebrews 11:6 simply told us, you know, that that just a couple of them just say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet he speaketh. You know, that act still speaks to us today. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he said he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And then verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And it goes on. Talks about Noah by faith being warned, and Abraham, when he was called out and he left, and he looked for a city whose foundations and builder and maker was God. He received strength even in his old day there that they had conceived a son. But without faith, it says it, and it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God, we must first believe that he is God, God Almighty, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then Ephesians just simply tells us it's by grace that we're saved, through faith. By grace we're saved through faith, the faith that we have in God, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, so If we would take that out, and we could say that we can come to God on our own merits and things, when would we ever get done and have accumulated and made and worked our way into the kingdom of God? But we can't, and that we can thank God for that verse especially. So, and then it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we don't see the next minute. So we trust in God. We have faith there, and that we can whatever God has for us this day or the next minute, the next hour, we can have that trust and faith. Romans 14:23 then tells us that anything that we do apart from faith would be sin. If it's not done in faith, he calls it sin, described as sin. So it's important to realize that there's the different kinds of faith that we have. But there's one that is truly a saving faith. So you can open your Bibles to James chapter 2. We're going to read the last part of this scripture here. And then we're going to talk about the kinds of faith that we find here within this. Let's see, James. Yeah, you can. Let's stand. James chapter 2, verse 14 to the end, I guess. We'll start. Give our cedar a break. James chapter 2, verse 14. He says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? Big question mark there. Two question marks. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, he gives us an example here, and one of you would say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? These are all questions. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Ye, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? 21. Was not Abraham, he brings two examples of characters in the Bible in to give us, again, a description or a picture of faith. And remember, the difference between these two people. So Abraham is first. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believeth God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Then he brings the next character in, or the next person. Likewise also was not Rahab, the harlot, justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You may be seated. Interestingly, you know, he uses Abraham here, you could say, a friend of God. And in Rahab's years of life and growing up, you know, she was, we would think, you know, she was a prostitute, whatever. She was the worst of sinners. And both of them was justified, their faith was justified by their obedience and by their works, the things that they did. So the spectrum of people there, no one's excluded. That's what I look at. It's like you can be the, you know, as a friend of God, like Abraham was described, it's available to him, and it was justified for him, and it was also for Rahab. So the first one that we talk about in 14 and 17 there just simply is telling us that that this faith is dead. This faith, this type of faith is if you tell somebody, go be warmed, go be filled, go get yourself something to eat, and they have no means to do that, there's no profit, you have faith that, yeah, that is a dead faith. There's nothing attached to it. You know, we can substitute words for the word it said deeds. James, you know, James looks at this example, and they may have all the right things to say. They have all the wording is correct. They're, you know, they sound like this sound doctrine. They can even quote all the Bible verses, but their walk doesn't measure up to their talk, is what he's telling us in them first three or four verses there. You know, it says that it profits nothing. It's only intellectual. They know what to say. They know what to tell this person, but it doesn't warm them. It doesn't fill them. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't, it does nothing for them. And it doesn't clothe them. They're still going to be as naked and destitute as they was when you first met them. This type of faith has never really submitted itself to God. It's never really given itself. It's never really trusted Jesus for their salvation, where it says, by faith, by grace you're saved through faith, not of works. Because they're doing it, there's even no works attached to their faith. And then in 17 there from, well, there's three different times that he mentions this. In verse 17, he tells us that even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, not being alone. In verse 20, he repeats the same thing. He emphasizes this. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? In verse 26, he repeats the same thing. So faith without works is dead also. So it's like you can't separate these. You cannot separate these things. At all. Any declaration of faith or anything that's said in faith that doesn't make a change, doesn't make a difference, no matter what the declaration is, no matter what is said, he's telling us that type of faith is dead. It's counterfeit. It puts you into a sense of false confidence of the eternal life that is waiting for you. So are we of this type of faith, the first one that he's describing? We need to be aware of the intellectual faith. Warren Wiersbe, he has a quote here, he said, which is 1 John 5:12, simply says, no man can come to Christ by faith and remain the same any more than he can come in contact with a 220-volt wire and remain the same. He will receive a jolt and there was something will happen. So he used that as an example. And 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He uses that as an example there. So then we move down to the verses of 18 through 19, and we have a faith here that is very, you know, not talked about a lot, I guess, but it's a faith that well, let's just read them. It's simply a faith that says, 18 and 19. It says, yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. He's telling this person, thou doest well, because he said, the devils also believe, and they tremble. So we have a faith here that is, it's a demonic faith. It's a faith that's, when it says that they tremble, it's a faith that's based on just emotions, emotionalism. Saying that that's the foundation of my faith. When I'm stirred and I'm worked up and my emotions are, you know, now don't take out the fact that emotions play a part in our faith, but if that's all that it is, that's what he's saying happened here with the devil. That's the kind of faith that they had. They trembled. They feared. They feared to even put their trust in, you know, in faith in God. And they knew there was a God. They believed in the deity of Christ. We can find scripture references for this, I guess, in Mark and Luke and in Matthew. They all give of this example that took place here. So if we want to look at Matthew chapter 8. We'll read some of this here. Go back to it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Yeah. Jesus was out there. he was on the boat. 25 says the disciples came to him. They woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. In verse 26, he says, and he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? He was talking to his apostles there, the people that was in the boat with him. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the whole winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side in the country of the Gergesenes, I guess, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, look, these people recognized God. They recognized Jesus. They recognized who he was. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and there was a good way off from them, and a herd of many swine feeding. And so the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, offer us to get away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. One word. And when they had came out, they went to the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished into the waters. And they that kept them fled, the people that was watching these. And they went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when he saw them, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. They wanted nothing to do with this man after they saw that had taken place there. And because, so they asked for permission to go into these swine because they knew the judgment that was to befall them. the spirit, the enemy, the devil that was within them people, you know, understood the judgment. So they were seeking a shorter way out. The end results was still death. But they believed that Jesus would be their judge. Luke, I think, is almost the same story. Luke chapter 8. The way Luke records this incident. Luke chapter 8, verse 25. Here he's asking this question too. In faith, I think this is the same incident, but it was just written by Luke instead of Matthew. In verse 25 of Luke chapter 8, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and that they obey him. And then they arrived in that country of Gardenus, which was over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Maybe this is, I'm not that reverse, maybe this is a separate incident. This is not the same person. But when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept a bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Again, the enemy here feared the judgment of God. And there was there and a herd of swine. Maybe it's the same incident. Yeah, feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. And the devils went out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place in the lake and were choked. And then they that fed them, they saw what happened, and they asked Jesus to actually leave because they didn't know how to interpret and handle all that, I suppose. There was fear involved there. So we see that even the enemy, in a sense, can we say that there's no such thing as an atheist? He may claim and declare that there is no God, but he still thinks there is a God. You know, he may claim and declare there is no God, but he still knows there is a God, no matter what he says. He can say whatever he wants, you know. You know, because even the devil here, they believed in the deity of Christ. They recognized him. Who are you? What do we have to do with you? They asked for permission to be, you know, to not to go into the swine instead of being cast out into the darkness, into the deep or whatever. They ended up there. We can see that because they also believed. This also shows you that they believed in the existence of a place of condemnation, of eternal damnation. It shows that, their actions and what they did. So James is telling us, is sharing with us here, that this is also a faith. You know, it's a faith of the demon, that the demons have, you know. So, you know, we saw the dead faith, that's only intellectual, and nothing happens. The demons were also worked up, you know, and with their emotions. They believed and trembled. And we also believe that there is the saving faith would involve all three of these aspects. And the first one, it takes our intellect, it also takes our emotions, and it also takes the kind of faith that will save us. A person can be enlightened in his mind and even stirred in his heart and still be lost forever. So true faith and saving faith involves something more than that, something that can be seen, something that can be recognized, and something that can be acknowledged that a life has changed. You got a 220-volt wire tied to you, and something happened. And you felt it, and you knew it, You received it and you acted upon it. So James tells us that it involves trusting in God. In verse 18, I think it tells us that. So that you trust in God. Yeah, man may say thou hast faith and have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. You will receive life, and then you will show that life. This is a challenge for us. We reveal the life of Christ through the faith that we have and that we exercise on a daily basis, wherever we are, whoever we are, wherever we go. And can we have that kind of faith? So, so we believe the things that we see and know and we feel, and then we exercise ourselves according to that. So the two kinds of faith that James says won't save us is the first one, no action, and the second one, even being emotional, or as the faith that these demons had in him. But he doesn't stop there. He goes to verse 20 to 26, and we're going to read these again. He says, but thou wilt know, he says. Here he's telling us plainly. He gives us two examples, and then he says, but thou wilt know, O vain man. He's identifying us of who we are and what we are, that faith without works is dead. And then he gives us an example of Abraham, how Abraham was obedient. God told him he must get up, he must sacrifice Isaac upon the altar, and he was obedient to that, and God called him his friend. But it was made perfect. Abraham was made perfect by his actions, by what he did. Trusted God, believed in God, and fulfilled what God asked him to do. And the scripture was fulfilled, it says. In verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And then he goes on and explains, he shares Rahab's story. And we know Rahab's story too. When she hid the spies and she got her household together there from when the men told her to, when they come back, and it was justified to her. It saved her and it saved her family because she knew that there was a God in Israel. She knew that there was something greater than herself, and she received that from these messengers, and she acted upon it. And it was to the saving of her faith. So we see these two faiths as being a dynamic faith. So Romans 10:17 tells us that, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Dynamic faith involves the whole man. It involves the aspects about us. It's intellectual, it is emotional, and it is an action tied to it to secure it and make it legit. It takes the mind to understand it. The heart desires it and rejoices in it. That's where emotions come in. It rejoices in the truth of God. And our will is to follow after and to be obedient, which leads into the action that we do. And that's our obedience to God. You know, as far as using Abraham and using Rahab, I don't know that you could find two more extreme opposites in the scriptures that he used for that James wrote about, that he used as an example. You know, Abraham was the father of the Jews, and Rahab was a Gentile of Gentiles. And Abraham was a godly man. Rahab was a harlot, a prostitute, a sinful woman. And Abraham was considered a friend of God. Rahab was part of the enemies of God. And what did they both have in common? What did they have in common? Both exercised their saving faith in God. And Abraham demonstrated that by his works that he did with Isaac there, and that's in verses 20 to 24 again, When he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar, Rahab demonstrated the saving faith in 25 and 26. When she received those messengers, she took them into the house, she hid them, she left them give them a safe passage out so that they were safe and went back, and sent them out on another way. And they were both justified in those actions that they did. So we can learn from this passage simply that what James is trying to tell us here and verifying a little more, that faith without works is dead, is a dead faith. that faith only, and the only time this phrase is actually found in scriptures is in verse 24 there. Not by faith only. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. The perfect faith will necessitate and bring about in obedience to the actions that follow, I guess. So in our everyday life, you know, when last have we made a faith-based decision? When have we stepped out of, we took a leap of faith, as we would call it, or made a decision in faith that God will take care of me and God will be okay, everything will be okay and things will work out. And we say that and we can use those words lightly, but what actually, you know, how does that all play out within our lives? And I would just, you know, just encourage us, I guess, more. Sometimes we pass over these things and we don't think of it, I guess, maybe like we should, that actually that was our faith. We moved and we did something because we were inspired. We were, you know, God, where's the kingdom of God? Where's the Spirit of God? It's within us. He nudged us. He talks to us. He shared something with us. And we acted upon that. And I think sometimes we maybe that's just what I do. That's just part of our life. So to give you, is it just our intellect that's telling us to do this, you know? Or is it a nudging of God? Or is it just our emotions that we're all worked up and that's why we're going to, you know, we do this? So we have those examples. Or is it actually our faith in God that would move us? So to give you an example a little bit, just another incident, and this is nothing, you know, this is nothing just to talk about myself because I think you guys have it too, but it was just brought to my attention when I think about this and was studying this, like, oh yeah, you know, that wasn't really everything just, to, you know, that wasn't just me or whatever. So I was at work on Thursday, I think it was. I was needing to go, on Wednesday it was, Tuesday or Wednesday, whichever day it was, I got a text message from one of the roofs I did and simply said that, thank you for your time and, you know, for all your efforts, but I've chosen another company. So I lost the job, you know, no big deal. But it wasn't 5 minutes on top of that, I get a call from Mitch Free. And I haven't talked to him since this year or whatever. And he's like, Henry says, we're going to do that barn. He said, whenever you get time, he said, come up here sometime and we need to discuss it. And, he said, I'm usually here till noon, then he goes home. And I kind of knew that. So I was kind of like, Wednesday I couldn't go, I didn't make it. And Thursday I was kind of like, we wanted to get this footer done, need to set up, just me and James and Reese working. And it's like, I need to go see Mitch. It's almost 11 o'clock, I should go see Mitch. This is what kept hitting me. I should go see him. And finally I just said, I'm going to leave, I got to go. And so I drove up there. And I walk in, and there's nobody there. Whether somebody comes from the back, and says, can I help you? Who are you? You know, whatever. And I said, well, I'm Henry here to see Mitch if he's still here. And he said, yeah, he's still here, but he's in a meeting. I said, well, that's fine. I'll just come back tomorrow or the next day, whatever. It's no big deal. You know, just tell him I wanted to come see him. And he comes out in the back and says, you're just the guy we want to see. Come on in. And he says, we're having a board meeting and we're discussing the barn and you're the one we need to talk to. Blew me away. I walk in there and there's 10 people sitting around the table, you know, all part of the place up there, and he's having a meeting with him, or he's talking about, and they're discussing office space, they're discussing colors of the building, they're discussing this, you know. So why was I nudged and I acted upon it? You know, it's, to me, I'm thinking like, so boom, I lost the job. 5 minutes later, I gained $1 million job, and boom, I went up there, and he's there, and I walk in, and it's all part of it. Is that all coincidence, or is that faith? Is that doing what God tells you to do? Now, okay, That is, you can say, there's nothing spiritual about that, is there? You want to say that? That's just all carnality. That's just all you thinking, and that's just all that. But what I'm, so sharing that simply is like, you guys recognize some of the same things in your life and things that happen and where you're, what you're asked to do and where to go and like that. And acknowledge it as faith in God. I believe that. I believe we can be strengthened by that. I looked at that scenario and I'm like, wow, it felt good. You know, it felt good that those things went the way they did, happening. So, I don't even know how that plays into this, but I think it's important that we, with this, just examine ourselves, look at life, see those things that happen, help us to move by the Spirit, and that increases our faith. And I think that's the dynamic part about faith. You know, it encourages, it strengthens us. You know, because Satan is a deceiver. You know, he wants to bring us down. If he can convince you that your faith is counterfeit and it's nothing, he's winning the battle. You know, he has the power to do that, but he's not all powerful at all. And also, just realizing in that, that's also a humbling experience. It also makes me realize that, like, not all things work just in my own power. You know, I'm of the mindset, if you don't help me, I'm Chicken Little and the sky's falling and I'll do it myself. You know, and I know that's sometimes that attitude that needs to go away. And when I leave it go away, I find out I have a lot more help and a lot more people willing than I think. I really am, you know. So it's the same thing in our walk in our faith with God. You know, we need to realize that we're sinners, saved by grace, as He tells us, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And yet we have many people around us that will walk with us, that help us. Repentance, you know, when we do fail and mess up, those are all things that increase our faith and turn us back, take us back. Trusting in Christ, I guess, trusting in Him alone for our salvation and for our life. There's lots of more things here that we could share. Sharing Christ with others, just like even sharing. You know, even sharing this example with somebody that maybe think they're an atheist, you know, they might not believe it. They might not even look at it in my point of view, like I just shared with you guys. But it really don't matter if they don't. Just tell them anyways. Just share it anyways, you know. like I shared with Tabatha several times was simply the fact, I think, that we have so much to learn from other people's stories that, you know, if I would just meet up with Don tomorrow or this afternoon or over lunch and give him 5 minutes of time and listen to him and listen to some of his stories, I have so much to learn from it. I have so much to learn. And so much could be increased, you know. And it doesn't matter who the people are. Sometimes if you would just give somebody 5 minutes of a listening ear of what you would, and then think about what you would gain, what you can gain or what you hear, and helps you, can help you immensely. So I had shared that with her a long time ago, and she says she's putting that into practice. When she meets people, she's going to at least give them 5 minutes of her time. Well, be careful, because if it's you that she meets, I guarantee you it'll be 30. You won't be done in 5 minutes, you know, because she's that type of person. But anyways, that's just a blessing, I guess, that we can have. We can enjoy the fellowship of God's people. And most assuredly, we don't need to be ashamed of when He returns because of the faith. And we don't all have that same degree of faith, you know, at all. But we all desire it to grow, to continue to increase. Like apostles even said, increase our faith, Lord. And He even told them when, after all the things that they'd done, He said, greater things than these that they will see. so may our I'm just gonna close with this in Psalms 139, 23 and 24. May our prayer be similar to what the psalmist had put there. He says, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." I'm open for sharing your testimony. Let me hear your faith experiences this past week.